Okay, let's begin. We're up to Perichov Vav. We are up to Pasik Chof Dalet. Bisvasov, Yinoker Sone Ubikirbo Yoshis Amirma. According to the Mitzudos, the word Yinoker means to make strange. According to the Medrash, Yinoker means to make noticeable, and that's a very big difference in how we translate the pasuk. According to the Mitzudos, it means a person. Sone, according to the Mitzudos, means hatred. A person, he hides his hatred. He makes believe that hatred, hate with his lips, hatred, sinna. What are you talking about? I never heard. I'm not even aware of what that word means, what that concept means to hate someone else. He makes hatred into a stranger. But the truth is, he's a liar. He's a phony. He's a fake. Uvikirbo, inside, Yoshis, he sets mirma, deceit, and the deceit is, according to the interpretation, is even greater than hatred. It's when hatred has developed to a point where a person is willing to take action. So let's see Chavdal and the Mesudas David.
That you shouldn't hate your
bilvavecha in your heart. Bilvavecha.
As opposed to openly.
Openly, don't hate. I mean, you're trying to say that.
One thing, if you hate someone openly.
So at least you know who you're dealing with.
Deceitfully.
At least you know who you're dealing with. If you hate someone,
like
at least let him know. It shouldn't be achas bepev yachas belev. Okay, let's see the mitzudah stopas of dal b'sfasaber bechal kal kois sfasaber with smooth talk, smooth lips, chalaklikos. Right, chalaklikos means smooth lips, smooth talk. Sfasav yase hasan yatzmo. The enemy makes himself kilu who nochim in hasan. He makes believe that he is a stranger from hatred. The eino imodo. It is not with him. Chofta, what? The Eina Imado, it's not with him. The truth is, deep down in his heart, Yosem Hamirma, the Eina Oizva, he does not abandon. So he's really focused on the word Yoshis. Yoshis means that it's permanently part of his person, the hatred that he harbors towards another individual. And that is the mesh of this pasuk. But the person here is, he's a phony. Rashi says, it's come out the same thing. Yinoker Sone, Bidiburo Misnaker Hasone, he hides himself, he disguises himself. The only difference between Rashi and the Mitzvah, like
when his brothers appeared before him, by Yisnakir, I think it says, right?
They did not recognize. They
not but it's another that he made himself
a stranger to them.
Like a stranger.
He made himself as a stranger that not to befriend them. To distance himself from them. So the only difference in Rashi and the Mitzudas appears is Rashi types the word sone to mean hatred, whereas Rashi translates the word sone as an enemy. What are you trying to do? It's the same idea. According to the Mitzudas, a person is hiding his hatred. Yinaker sone, he is hiding the mida, the characteristic of hatred from his friend. According to Rashi is a little more explicit. He's hiding the fact that really he's an enemy. The word sone is referring to the person. The person makes believe that he's not an enemy, but deep down inside of the Kibur Yashus in Mirma, he has deceit, he has bad feelings, and he's going to act upon those bad feelings and bring upon the person harm. According to the Medrash Mishlei says, don't translate the word yinoker to mean a stranger, a nechar. To disguise yourself, to hide the hatred. It means noticeable. Nikar. Yinoker, in this context, it means you can tell what a person feels about you by listening very carefully to what he says. It's impossible to truly hide your feelings. When you engage someone in a conversation, bisvasav, through a person's lips, yinoker sone, you can tell if he's your friend or your enemy. Just listen carefully to what another person says, and you'll be able to uncover his true kavan, his true feelings. It will be noticeable what he feels. It will be kirbo yashis mirma. Okay, the Medrash is not focusing on the second half of the pasuk, but maybe the pasuk means that once you already know that it's noticeable, that he's an enemy. So now you know that there is deceit, there's mirma, and you are warned to steer clear, stay far away.
In the micro. the micro movements at the edge of the eye in the mouth.
You can tell what a person's lying.
Right.
Person is lying, not lying. You can tell. What?
They're called tells.
Tells. There are a lot of. And with computers. Okay, the human eye can only pick up that much, but with a computer, they have technology.
Yeah.
They can see. They can analyze the person. They can either videotape or they can either detect on the spot. The person is lying, not lying. Absolutely, that's.
They would be more checking speech patterns.
More than
the that's the. They say, you know, people start to embellish a little bit. It means they're lying. They're hemming and haw a little bit. Obviously. You know, you just relaxing. You're talking, plus you're not lying. If you're lying, we start to give information that they're not asking you, because you're, you know.
You heard it last week. You said I didn't listen to this speech.
Right.
Obama.
He heard it. He didn't listen. It's a difference.
Okay, let's go to the next part. Pasuk Chaf Hei continues. Esteem ki yichanein kolo al tamin bo. If a person, he ingratiates himself. Yichanein comes from the word chein. He tries to find favor in your eyes by saying all the right things. Al ta'amen bo. Don't have faith in an individual that has proven himself to be your sworn enemy. Once you've figured out from Pasuk Chaf Dalet that the person hates you, he's yinoker sonei, he's hiding, he's disguising himself. But you have already figured out, because yinoker means there are some signs, it's noticeable in his lips what he really has in his heart against you. So that's it. He's giving you good advice. Stay far away, even if his yichanin kolo, his voice is pleasing, it's ingratiating, it's pleasant, it's molei chein, al tamin bo, do not have faith in his words. Why? Ki sheva to'evos belibo. Sheva here is a very unusual, sheva means seven. Seven does not really fit into the context, so it's loosely translated that he's satiated. He's full to the brim. He's completely absorbed through and through with abominations in his heart. Let's see the mitzudos. Pasuk chafei ki yichanein im yisa koiloi betachanunim. If this individual who is proven to be an enemy, he lifts up his voice with pleasantness, with supplication, he's kind to you. Al tamin bo, do not have faith in him. Ki sheva toivos. Awa?
Don't believe
him. Ki sheva to evos belibo.
Explain that.
Okay, there is no Rashi on this. Now, there are a number of midrashim.
It's like white man speak with forked tongue. He's got a million different things going on in his mind. Sheva,
the way he said, Sheva is the.
He has many plans.
Physical.
Seven is represents that he's full, as much as he's maxed out. Okay, there are a number of midrashim. What now?
The similar
interpretation we're referring over here, according to the Medrash, referring to Asaph. Asaph is the model. Is he's the paradigm, the prototype of all faith. Of hypocrisy. He told his father he was Yichan and Kola. He was very, very deceiving in his speech to his father. He asked his father questions. How do you separate Truma and Meiser from salt and straw? And his father said, where were you today? So he said, I went to the Beis Medrash. He according to the Medrash, he lied. I was in the Beis HaTalmud. Okay, they learned Talmud in those days. I'm not exactly sure what Talmud means. It means he went to learn.
And he was open then?
And he told his father Chidush Etar, which according to the Medrash basically means, and you see this today, you've been around, you've seen this enough, is that Esav, Chazal say this in other places, was super, super brilliant. Super, he can learn up a storm, he can learn in 5 minutes what other people can take them a year to learn. But most of his day he spent involved in taivas and taivas. Who knows what he did the whole day? But when he came to talk and learning, he puts on his black hat and his kapata, and no one can match him in learning, and he was eloquent, and he was the ultimate deceiver. I remember there was once a person I knew that he used to come, we used to have a daf yomi, and we used to spend to learn a daf yomi for an hour. And for me, it was very, very hard. Still very hard. It was very hard to learn a Daf Gemara, to really sweat it out. And there was this Iluyish fellow, really Ilu. He used to come to Ma'arif, and we had a Daf Yomi years ago. We dive in Ma'arif so fast, I'm telling you, you can't catch your breath. So he would open up the Gemara, and he would dive in also a mile a minute, even faster than everyone else. He would dive in, and he would finish Shemona Esrei, the first one. And in between the time that he finished the Shemona Esrei until the Chazan said Kadosh Olam Yiskadal V'Yiskadash, which is literally 30 seconds, I would see him every night zipping up the whole daf. He learned, and he knew it. That's what's so scary. What's so scary is that's when he learned daf yom. He came to Ma'ariv. He came to Daven Ma'ariv, and after he finished his silent Shemona Esrei, until they said Kadosh Shalem, he learned. He just zipped up the whole daf, and he knew it. After the daf yom, after the Ma'ariv, he'd ask me questions. He would show me like he really knows. And this guy was full of trouble. This guy is a real always has his hands in the wrong place. And that's Esav. This person is just a mashu of Esav, and that's what it's living in this pasuk. Yichanekol al tamim pasuk v'yidus konkoy to the medrash. This pasuk was sent as a baskol. It was a nevu. It was a baskol to Yitzchak. Hashem was telling Yitzchak, don't be so impressed with this Esav. He comes to you and he tells you halacha. He did go to the base medrash. I went to the base medrash and he told him a shir. He told him the shir klali, and he chapped the shir klali in 10 seconds. But most of the day he spent doing who knows what, and he asked him all these philosophical questions, and Yitzchak was very impressed. Hashem said to Yitzchak, "Ki yichanein koiloi," just because he sounds good, he has good Torah. Al tamen bo, do not believe him. Do not have faith. Tamen doesn't just mean believe; it also means have faith. Do not have faith that this person is going to be your the one that will carry on your legacy. Give the brachas to Yaakov, not to Esav. Ki sheva toivos bliba, because this individual is full, is satiated, is absorbed to the full extent abominations in his heart. Okay, that's one interpretation. One medrash. Another medrash. What's the sheva? This medrash appears in many, many forms and sources. There were 7 mikdashos, or 7 structures, holy structures, that was destroyed by Esav and his descendants, or Esav, those who represent, Esav's representatives. What was the first 7? First was the Mishkan, which is, we'll get back to that in a moment. It's problematic, because the Mishkan, it says more accurately, was Nignas, was not Chorav. But yet this Medrash appears all over the place. What can I tell you? It says here, Beferish here, this is a Medrash in Bereishis Rabbah. Okay, this is standard, Yalkut Shemayni. And this is just one example of where we cite this idea. There are many, when Yaakovin, he bowed down 7 times. Yaakovin, when he came to meet Esav, he bowed down 7 times. Chazal were critical. Why are you bowing down 7 times? And because you bowed down 7 times, Esav will destroy 7 sanctuaries. And again, there it says the Mishkan was number 1. I don't remember, there are more. There's a whole series of these places. We have the number 7 in Esav. It refers to Esav bringing about the Korban of 7 sanctuaries. And the first one on the list is the Ohel Moed, which L'chaira is problematic, because whoever said that it was destroyed, it was put in Geniza, and it was replaced immediately with the Mishkan in Gilgal. Obviously, we have to understand, we don't know. It has to be, there also is some degree of Korban. Maybe it was not meant to be that the Mishkan should have been completely put in Geniza. Maybe it was meant to be that the Mishkan should have been serving in another capacity at the same time that Gilgal was serving. Chazal said that when the Mashiach will come, when there will be a Beis HaMikdash, the Mishkan will be restored. That's what it says. It's not going to be the place where you're going to bring korbanos, but it's going to be a base tefillah. It's going to be a place where people are going to come and see the Mishkan of Moshe Rabbeinu. So whatever this means, it means. That's the number 1. That was the Mishkan. Then is the Mishkan Gilgal. Gilgal is where Klai was looking for 14 years during the time of conquest and dividing the land. They were in Gilgal for 14 years. Then they were in Shiloh, number 3, for 369 years. That was the longest, and that was destroyed with the death of Eli HaKoyin. And the Aron was seized when that we know for sure indeed was destroyed. Again, Gilgal is also problematic. Whoever said Gilgal was destroyed, I don't believe there's any record in Tanakh or any Medrash that Gilgal was destroyed. Gilgal was just put in Geniza. It was a place, Gilgal. That's where they were the first. Okay, and here that's 33. And then we have Noiv and Givon. Noiv, there are 2. Noiv and Givon. I don't think we know exactly how long it was in each place. But it was a total of 57 years, if I'm not mistaken. Noiv and Givon. And that was destroyed. At least Noiv was destroyed when Shaul destroyed it. Now, what is Esav getting involved? So you have to say Esav is the chait. Esav also, even if you want to say that, say the Ilma was destroyed, there was no Esav in Eretz Yisrael. It was the Canaanim. So the Canaanim are not the Yishmaelim, they're not Esav. So what does the Canaanim have to do with Esav? So obviously it means that Esav represents Chet. Esav brought into this world the Zuama. Esav is Amalek. Amalek kiyod al keiska. As long as Esav exists, that is where all the nations of the world derive their koyach to cause us harm. Yishmael, Canaan, they derive their koyach to cause Klal Yisrael harm because Esav exists. Esav is the one. Ki yad al kes kam l'cham l'Hashem Amalek midar dar. They're the shurish. Okay, so then we have Noivin, Givon, Noivin. Now Givon, Noivin was destroyed. Givon, why was Givon destroyed? Where do we find the Givon? I do not know. Same exact issue. And then we have the Bayis Rishain and the Bayis Sheni for a grand total of 7. Oil Moed. Wait, what did I say? Oil Moed, Gilgal, Shiloi, Noiv, Givon. Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni, grand total of 7. 7 Mikdashos, and that's what's over here. Hashem is saying to Hashem, and the Medrash says to Yitzhak, don't be impressed with Esav. Even though Ki Yechanein Koiloi, just because he's such a nice guy, his words are very pleasing to your ears. Al Tamin Bo, have no faith. Ki Sheva, 7 abominations will he commit. He will destroy, he will be responsible for the Chorban of 7 sanctuaries. Now, there's another interpretation. This really goes back to the beginning. There's an easy interpretation. It's very, very fits well. Goes back to what we learned in, goes back to the beginning of Sefer Mishlei. What perek is it? I actually marked down the page. Here it is. On perek vav, pasik tes zayin. Perek vav tes zayin shesh heina sone Hashem. Okay, that there were many interpretations of this pasuk. We'll learn now simply that it goes back to what it said before, in the beginning of Perek Vav, the Sheva. But the following 7, To'avas Nafsho, is the abomination of Hashem's Neshama. And here the pasuk goes on to list 7 terrible midas. Number 1, Einayim Ramos. Eyes, arrogant eyes. Number 2, Lashoin Shaker, a tongue of falsehood. Number 3, V'yadayim Shefchoi Stamnaki, murder. Number 4, Lev Choyresh Mach Shavois Oven, a heart that plans evil thoughts. Number 5, Raglayim Mimaharos Larutz Lara, feet which walk quickly to do avarice. Number 6, Yofiach Kizavim, a checker. And number 7, Umishalech Midonim Bein Achim. And in fact, the Medrash interprets that pasuk, those 7 things, in reference to the life of Esav. I'll read you very quickly what are the 7 things. The first thing it says, he has high eyes. Einayim Ramos. Haughty eyes. Haughty eyes. Where do we find Esav with haughty eyes? Okay, so there are different interpretations. Here it says, Vayisa Eina Vayar Es Hanoshim. When Yaakov came to greet Esav, he looked at the women. What are you looking at the women? What's your business? Yaakov here is coming to greet you. And Esav, he saw the Noshim. He saw Leah, Rachel, Bilhah, and Zilpah. Mi'alach. So Chazal are critical. It's not for him to look at the women. It's not for him. Yesterday, they had in Madison in Barclay Center, they had pictures. I what? So Shnira, 20,000. So pictures. So I looked at the pictures. I can't see anyone. I tried, but you say Navayar. I want to see some of the. They just show everything is there.
Outside,
a few girls. Okay, then you can see a few of them. It's okay, but it's not. They don't show very much. Okay, next, the second thing was Lashon Shoker. The second sin was Lashon Shoker. Where do we find Sheker in regard to Esav? He was Kitzad Befiv. Tzad b'fiv, Yaakov, Esav, Tzai b'fiv. Yitzchak loved Esav, ki Tzai b'fiv. And what is a Tzai b'fiv? He was deceived. He deceived his father with words of Sheker. I went to the Beis Medrash. She'll lie. You didn't go to the Beis Medrash today. Yeah, ask all these questions. That's number 2. Next, Raglayim Mimaharois. What does it mean that the third sin, that he had legs that were quick, swift? What? Oh,
Which order are you going?
Oh, it's going in a different order? Hinayim Ramos Lashon Shaker is the Yodayim Shefchei Stamnaki. Okay, so that's it's the Yodayim Shefchei. Oh, you're right. I'm sorry. Yodayim Shefchei. No, it's going out of order for some reason. Okay, let's go. Yudayim Shevchais. Whatever. Where do we find? He oyef anoichi. On that day, he killed Nimrod. Exactly. On the day when he came to the sold the Zinadoshim, when he wanted. He oyef anoichi. What do you mean you're oyef? Why? Because my hands are tired from killing. Oifa nafshi lahargim. We find that same expression, oyef, murder. He killed Nimrod on that day. Okay, then when it says in the pasuk, he's a leif choyresh, he has a heart that is plotting. Machshavois oven. What do we know that? Vayomer Esav belibo. Esav said in his heart, Yikruvi me evil avi, my father will die soon, and I will then go and kill Yaakov, my brother. Then when it says, Yofiach kizavim, the next thing in the pasuk, we have going out of order, Lev Chosh Mashav Oven, Raglayim Maros Larutz. Let's go back to that. Where do we find that it's that? Where do we find that it's Raglayim Maros? He wanted to kill Yaakov. Sherotz Achar Yaakov Lahargo. It says in the Medrash, where do we find that he was Rotz? I guess he sent Eliphaz.
Yeah. Against 22 years to catch
it. He sent Eliphaz Sherotz Achar. That was called his feet. I guess children are Bro Karadavu. A child is the foot of the father. So that's considered that he did indeed.
The Medrash says, he waited all those years to catch him when he was in Beersheba learning Beersheba.
He didn't go after. Maybe he didn't know where it was.
The sanctuary.
He didn't. Maybe he didn't know where it was.
13 years later, he popped out.
Oh, there was no sign.
Walking across the yard.
No, it says he grew the angle of it. He wasn't going to die.
Okay, so that's the next pasuk. Gamaris leruot zara yofiach. What does it mean? Yofiach kizavim. Yofiach means to speak lies. We already had that. We already had a lishoin shoker. So what does it mean again? Yofiach. He blows kizavim. So the Medrash refers to he denied chias hamesim. Shoker is bein otam lachaveroi as kizavim. I'm going to die anyway. So here it's a speech that's a lie. Bin Adam la mokaim. He denied tchias amesim. He nenochi holech lamos. I'm not going to come back from tchias amesim. Okay, the next part of the pasuk, is. Because of Meshalech Midonim Bein, that's the last one, that's number 7. Meshalech Midonim Bein Achim, who did he marry? Who did Esav marry? He married many women, Rashi tells us, but when Yaakov got married, he said, oh, I'm also going to get married again. Another wife, Vayelech Esav El Yishmael. He married the daughter of Yishmael Nevoyos.
Mochalas
Bas Yishmael Achos. Nevoyos, the sister of Nevoyos, he went to the family of Yishmael. Why did he go to the family of Yishmael? He wanted to put a wedge, conspiracy. He wanted to join up, and the Medrash says something very shocking. When we learned the pasuk, remember we learned this Medrash repeats the Medrash over here. It has to have a lot of pages, so I have to repeat a couple of Medrashim every so often. So what did it say there? He said that I want to conquer the entire world. So I have two competitors. Yishmael, he has, and Yaakov. So I can't kill, I can't. Exactly, one at a time. So, but what was his plan? His plan was also he didn't like his father. The Medrash says something very bizarre. It says he wanted to kill his father. He wanted Yikuvi Me'evalavi. Yeah, I'll.
He went to Shver. He said to Shver.
So the Medrash says that Esav was a diplomat. It's not proper for me to kill my father. What kind of Nobel Prize will I win? I'm going to kill my own father? I can't do it directly. You know what? I'm going to convince Yishmael. I'll be the Edim by Yishmael. And we're sitting around the Shabbos table. I'll tell the Yishmael, you know, I can't kill my father, but you're his brother. And you have grievances. Sarah said, "Goresh as ben ha'om ha'azos." So you have a legitimate reason that's acceptable in the world. In the world, if you will kill your brother, people will understand. Sarah said, "Goresh as ben ha'om ha'azos." You're entitled to take revenge. So you kill Yitzchak, and I'll kill Yaakov because I can. That's my brother. He stole my brachas. I have all the right in the world to kill my brother Yaakov Inu. So you, Yishmael, you kill my father. and I will kill Esav. I, Esav, will kill my brother Yaakov. And then the Medrash goes on, what was he planning? And then I'll say, look at this Rasha, my Shver, look what he did, he killed my father. I have to be Meikim Nikmas Hashem. Meikim Nikmas Hashem, I'm the Goel Hadam. I'm now going to kill Yishmoel.
And then he's going to be a
Yishmoel. And then he's going to Yarshin the entire world. He'll have everything, he'll have the legacy, he'll have... He had three competitors, pretty much. That's what it means to say over here. There were three people that were in his way. Yitzchak was in his way, Yishmol was in his way, and Yaakov was in his way. Yaakov he can take care of. His father-in-law and his father he can't. But if I can have my father-in-law kill my father, then I'll have the green light, a legitimate reason to kill my father-in-law, and then I will have everything. That is what the Medrash interprets from Meshulech Midonim. He's going to send a machlokes between brothers by marrying into the family of Yishmol, who'll be having an audience with Yishmol, and will be able to convince Yishmol what to do to make machlokes. So these are the seven things that Hashem told Yitzhak, you better watch out. If you learn Sefer Mishlei back in Paragvav, you'll discover there are seven very bad midos, and guess what? Your own son Esav has all seven. He has Sheva Ta'avais Belibo. Don't be impressed when he is Yichanein Koiloi. Don't Altamin Bo. Okay, now one other interesting medrash.
Present day events.
They have all the good midos. Talk about the...
Not just that.
Yeah.
The whole idea
of using one against the other.
I mentioned it in my statement, this ambivalent relationship between Esav and Yishmoel.
Convenience.
Sometimes an ally, sometimes an enemy.
It's all for one purpose, to cause us trouble. It's all the same thing. Okay, now there's another very interesting medrash. The medrash connects this pasuk to Sheva. Everyone is very disturbed with this Sheva, the seven Mikdashas, the seven sins in the Paragvav, or Sheva just means, as Rameir said, it means the totality of nature. It represents a symbol of completeness. He's as evil as he can possibly be. But some interpret Sheva really to mean 7D. Why do we mean 70? Because whenever you have the word Sheva with the word To'eva, it's a fascinating idea, with the word To'eva, we automatically multiply Sheva by 10. What gives you the right to multiply 7 by 10 when you connect it to the word To'eva? It comes from, I don't remember which pasuk, in which parsha, but the pasuk talks about Silmad Lasois Ma'oininu Mechash. Right, so what parasha is that? What is that? Shoftim? Something like that. So the pasuk is simulasos kitoavos hagoyim hohem. Here's the key word. The key word is like the abominations of these nations. Kitoavos. And then the psukim go on to enumerate 10 abominations. Now it's not really clear how it's 10, because you can count it 9, you can count it 12, different ways to count. But the Midrash basically counts there to be 10 abominations. Here are the abominations. Number 1, Lo Yimotze V'cho Ma'avir. Again, it begins. Lo Sumud La'asos Kisoavos Hagoyim Mohem. Abominations. And what are the abominations? Number 1, Lo Yimotze V'cho Ma'avir Bino Uvi Tovoesh. Do not pass offer your son and daughter through fire. According to the Medrash, a little bit of a stretch, this is 2. A son and a daughter is not the same. 2 different forms of idol worship, when you offer your son and a daughter. That's 2. Next comes Koisem Kisamim, whatever that means, Avodah Zarah. That's number three. Number 4, Mo'inein, another form of another abomination. Number 5, Mi'nachesh. Number 6, Mi'chashef. Number 7, V'choyver Chover. Number 8, V'shoyel oiv v'yidoni. What was that? Was the 9 already?
But these are all spiritual.
Okay, whatever they are, these are all abominations. So these are all the psukim lemaver b'noy bitoy kaisem kisamim me'oinen menachesh mechashef chover chover shoyel oiv v'yidoni. I think he's counting as 2. Oiv v'yidoni is 2. or the Nebi Dorosh has another. That's 10. Okay, there are different ways to count. The Medrash, you have to go figure out how you want it. There are multiple ways to count the number 10. The Medrash itself tells you that it's not clear how to count the 10, but the point the Medrash says is, we learn from here, a Yesod, that we're dealing with a To'eva. A To'eva is always means a sin that's multiplied by 10. In the Torah, there's a chet. A chet is a chet pesha v'ovan. You dip in the mikvah 3 times. Why do you dip 3 times in the mikvah? The Mishnah Berurah says, chet pesha v'ovan. An inadvertent sin, that's a chet, a pesha, you did it b'mezid, avon, you did it l'haches. Okay, 3 types of sins. But then there are things that are called to'evos, abominations. An abomination is any sin that you could imagine, multiply it by 10. Therefore, that's because that's what the pasuk says. Lo simulatos kitoavos, and then it lists 10 averos. So here the Medrash says mimelo when it says al kisheva toyavos belibo, Esav has in his heart 70. And 70 is a whole new madrega. 7 represents 70 has 70 abominations in his heart. Elia, another set of Toeva.
It says it's
3 times Toeva. Alright. Multiple Toevas. So the pause basically means that Esav over here is an abomination as great as it gets. And Al Tamenba. Okay, let's go to Pasuk Chavav. Tichases Sina Bimashaon. A new idea. A person who covers Sina Bimasha. Mashaon means extreme darkness. No one can possibly see what you are doing. There's choshech, there's afela, there are all different types of words, terms used in Tanakh to refer to darkness. Here refers to darkness that is so dark, even the dark doesn't see it. It's as dark as it can possibly get. That's called bimash on a person. Sometimes thinks he can do an avera, and no one is watching. No one knows about it. Hashem says, "I know about it." And guess what? You think it's private? The day will come. Tigole rasoi v'kahol. The day will come when I will reveal your sin v'kahol in the public assembly. Everyone will one day discover this. Now, this possibility creeped me out. I once years ago when they started with the internet, Shmir Seinayim and the filters and all these things. All right, so I didn't really pay that much attention. But then I heard Rav Solomon from Lakewood, who's giving a shmooze, and I listened to the shmooze, and he said very very with a lot of emotion. He says, every website you click with your mouse, yeah, every website, the day is going to come when everyone that you know and your family, your friends, is going to see that website that you've clicked on, that you've gone to. According to this pasuk, the chasesh sinna, a person covers an act of hatred, a sin of an avera, the masha on tigoler v'asa v'kol. Got me really scared. The way he said it was very like, oh, watch out. And I said, how do you know, is it really true? Is it really true such a thing?
Sure.
You do tshuva?
You know it. It's even, like, and it bounces up on your Facebook page. You
there. Tichas, okay, whatever this is, this, but we even know that today there's technology. Huh? They claim that every website, there's no real privacy. I read this, and there's really no real website. There's no real privacy. You go on the web. You go surfing, they can track you. There's their privacy laws, but it's impossible for a person to truly hide, even if you have what do they call them, proxies, and you have all different types of software which claim they're spoofing the system. Not true. It's not true. It's really impossible. It's really truly impossible to hide from your internet service provider where you're going and where you're coming from. So that's what it says here. Okay, pasuk Pasek, let's see what it says over here in Rashi. Rashi says, Techaseh sinah ha'oisem, ha'oisem ma'isem b'machsh. A person does an aver b'machshach, u'michseh, b'mishon, a person does an aver in darkness, and covering b'mishon, shuhu choshech. What is the word b'mishon? Rashi translates, ma'shon is darkness. It's a darkness, shuhu choshech, es hadavar hasanui, it's something which is covers, es hadavar, conceals the davar hasanui. So according, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so according to Rashi, Rashi translates the word sinah not as hatred, as a person who is a sone or hatred. It means an action that is hated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Megaler also bekahol. The day will come when Hashem will reveal His evil in the assembly and publicly. Shayakiru bo shurasha. The world will become aware that this individual is an evil man. That Chazal darsh this pasuk specifically in reference to who? To the Saita. The Saita. Saita went into privacy, was warned not to have a yichud with an individual. She went inside. No one knows what happened inside. No one knows. But now the husband has to take her to the Beis HaMikdash, and here she is exposed in public, in the public place, in the Beis HaMikdash. And then if indeed she did sin, her stomach collapses, and all of these horrible things happen to her. Her sin, her act of unfaithfulness is revealed to the entire Klal Yisrael. That is the thrust of the Medrash.
Mashon seems to be related to Shoah.
Holocaust. Mm-hmm. Chaos. Chaos.
Darkness.
Holocaust. Chaos. Shoah, we spend a lot of time in Sefer Yeshaya. Shoah is usually translated as chaos, a lack of order, a lack of chaos. Chaos is chaos, right? That's why some right wing rabbanim object to defining the Holocaust with the word Shoah, because Hashem was there. We don't know, understand why. It's impossible for us.
Because it's a Zionist invented word.
Possibly. Okay, that could be anything the Zionists will do. They'll say the opposite. But they've given a svara. It's not well accepted among the Haredim. Everyone uses the word Shoah. It's fluent. Some people they prefer to use Churban Europe, because Shoah has a connotation that there is no Ribbono Shel Olam. I don't think we take that. So we take in that form. But there that's just a.
They started this. It was years ago that the Erev Shabbos Parshas VaYikra.
Yeah.
Is a
this week
memorial for children.
The children who organized this Holocaust.
Because VaYikra, you start learning with children.
Children, ooh, very nice. Tahara, Yavai Tahayda Yasek B'Taharos. The million, 1.5 million children.
It sort of disappeared.
When did it start? When was? Who organized? Who was behind it?
I don't know who started it, but.
Interesting. It's a very interesting idea. Yavai Tahayim Yasek B'Taharos. Also, it's after Parshas Parah. After Parshas Parah is Parshas Tahara. Who is Tahara? Children. Children's Tahara. It's a very interesting point. Okay, Techase Sina B'Moshon Yitigol Rasa B'Kol. Okay, the Medrash and the other Midrashim. Okay, there are some other things here, but I know here we have a Medrash. Okay, yeah, this was the site. Okay, that was the same thing it says over here. Medrash. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Chav Zayin Koyre Shachas. A person who digs a pit. This is poetic justice. We had this idea so many times. This is Mida Kineged Mida. Kiva Davar Asher Zadu Alehem. The first one that came that praised Hashem in reference to Mida Kineged Mida was the Yisro. And the pasuk here says it again. Kore Shachas, person who digs a pit, Bo Yipol, he falls in his own pit. The Goylel Evan, a person who rolls the stone, Elov Tashuv, it will boomerang, it will come back to him, he will fall upon his own stone. Let's see the Mesubas pasuk Chav Zayin. Kore Hachofer Bor Luragli Chaver, person who digs a pit in order to trap the feet of his friend. Soifayuhu Atzmo Yipol. Boy, he is going to fall into the pit. A person rolls in the stone. Al chaver, sefer tasha v'lov. The stone will one day roll upon him. The chafal hadavar b'milay shenis v'atzalaymar hachoresh roha al chaver. A person plan evil upon your friend. Who atzmo yuchshal b'raso. He himself will stumble in that evil. Rashi says, Kor shachas gun bilam shehesi eitzay, gives examples. Bilam. after Bilam was unsuccessful in cursing Klal Yisrael, he tried to curse Klal Yisrael three times, and those klalos were transformed into brachos. Three times he tried to curse. The fourth time he didn't try to curse, so right away he gave a bracha. And the fourth time was just a spontaneous bracha without any attempt to curse, so there were four. But after that, then he was unsuccessful, so what did he do? He did even greater harm. He told Balak, I can't curse them, but I can give you advice. You have to lower their spiritual standing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu by causing them to be nichshol in arayos. Tell the girls of Midian they should come out and present themselves in an unsneistic way in front of Bnei Yisrael as they travel in the desert, and that will cause them to have they'll incite their Yetzirah, they'll be nichshol, Hashem will remove his Shechina, and then they will suffer. And indeed, Balak took the advice of Bilam, and that's exactly what happened. It was a Magefa, that was the mice of Kuzbi with Pinchas, and 24,000 people
presented on Sinistic.
That's what it says in the Medrash.
They wouldn't have captured him.
It says in the Medrash. It says they were provocative.
Very sophisticated setup.
It was a sophisticated, but it was all for the technique was arayos. It was a technique in order to cause them to be nichshol in arayos. Arayos is the greatest yetzahara. There's no greater yetzahara. And Chazal said, "Makom that there's kedusha, there's protection." And there was no. It was a technique, a clever technique, and it worked. 24,000 people from Klal Yisrael died in the Magefa. So Bilam was sitting home and was reading on the newspaper what happened, and he said, who gets credit for this? Me. I'm the one. Us. I deserve. Alts is geld. I have to cash in. Copyright. It was my idea. I didn't get one red cent for this. I'm entitled for payment. So Bilam gets on his donkey and he travels to Midian to be Tovea payment. It was his idea, his advice. And what happens? He happily comes in the right place in the right time for us. He was there and he was killed. Klal Yisrael happened to be there. They were camping out, and he was murdered on the spot. And he brought it upon himself.
He was killed, but he brought.
If he would have stayed home, would not have been there. He would not have been. They would not have. Klal Yisrael would not have sought him out to kill him. He brought it upon himself. That's what the Medrash interprets. The Medrash Rashi quotes this Medrash. When Bilam shehesi etza lebalak, he advised Balak al Yisrael. The Hippel, through his advice, he caused the death mayhem of Klal Yisrael. 24,000, and now in the aftermath of this event, he came to Midian to demand payment. And what happened? He was killed right then and there. The Nerag Biyad Yisrael, because then Klal Yisrael was at war with Midian, he was killed. So therefore, he brought it upon himself. He dug his own pit by coming there. By coming there and giving this advice, and now coming to be to their payment, he brought his own death upon himself. The Goyal Evan, Klaimar, Sefer Shel Hamamid, Michshol, Shikosh, a person puts up a stone like will stumble upon the stone. And Rashi here gives an example. The Goyal Evan, the Galil, Mokum, person rolls stone from place to place, Sheikhshul, Babriyadim, that people should stumble. The Agad, the place should be Avimelech, Shark, Shivim, Echav. When Avimelech, the son of Gidoin, when Gidoin died, and Avimelech was the next, he wanted to be a Shefet, he wanted to take over, he wanted to become a Shefet, this person, Gidoin, and there was competition, so he killed his own brothers. He killed 70 members of his own family in order to suppress any competition. And he killed them by throwing stones upon them, slingshots. So what was the Midah connected? Midah, he died. He was killed. A woman threw a stone upon his head. Midah can pay the whole story in Perek Tes and Sefer Shoftim. Midah can have a good person, but Avimelech Shorag HaShivma Echav Al Evin HaChasasan Nahidat, he put him on one stone. He brought them to one place to kill them in one location on one stone. V'Sofo Nes be'evin, he died through a stone. Shnemar v'tashlech ish achas pelach rechev, the stone of a millstone, the bottom part of the millstone. V'toratz gulgoloso, his skull was crushed. Mida kineged mida. Yisrael said this key. I think it's the top with the bottom, the very heavy stone. She threw it upon him, she killed him. So it's mida kineged mida. He killed his own family with stones. He was killed by a stone. Yisrael was the first one to make this observation. Ki vadavar asher zadu, that they drowned Klal Yisrael in the Yam. Mida kineged mida. So they, the Egyptians, were drowned in the Yam Suf. Let me just see over here. Are there other midrashim? Let's go further. Last pasuk lamed ches. This is a hard pasuk. L'shoin sheker yisna dakov ufecholok yaaseh midche. Let's see the mitzvah right away. L'shoin sheker, ish sheker. Lashon Shek, according to the Mitzudos, means a person. We're referring to a person who speaks. He speaks slander. So what happens? Yisne es hanid koim. Dakov, according to the Mitzudos, means his victims. The people who are crushed. The word dakov can be translated many ways. The Mitzudos translates it to crush and refers to the victim. The victim, the one that is the victim of the Lashon Hara, is hated by the Baal Lashon Hara. Why? Why? Not, when he spoke Lashon Hara, he didn't necessarily hate him. It was gossip. Think about it. Think about when we speak Lashon Chasham. Person says something, there's gossip. Oh, the person, look what happened to this person. So you want to ingratiate yourself with your friend, so you tell him a good story with Lashon Hara about what happened to someone else. Do you really have any hatred of that person? Of course not. I don't know him from Adam. But then after you speak Lashon Hara, you feel guilty. Oh no. Maybe it will get back to him. Not maybe. Certainly, you convince yourself that your words of slander have gotten back to the victim, the one that you spoke about, and he hates you. He hates you for spreading rumors about him, or saying terrible things. If he hates me, kemayim panim el panim, if he hates me, I hate him. I think it's an incredible cycle, psychological thing.
That famous joke with the two guys on the train go to Warsaw. One guy says, "What time is it?" And the other guy punches him in the nose.
Because you want to marry my daughter.
Yeah, you want to marry my daughter.
First, you're going to want to know that. Then you want to know this. Then you want to know that. Before you turn around, you're going to ask me to marry my daughter. And I don't want to give you my daughter, so therefore I hate you right away. So exactly the same process over here. You speak Lashon Hara. I have nothing against this fellow. He's a nice guy. Chaval, unfortunately, he was caught. In a moment of weakness, he did an avera and was caught. So it's gossip. And you tell all your friends. And then you begin, oh no, what did I do? One of them for sure is going to go back and tell him that I spoke Lashon Hara about him. And then he's going to be plotting revenge against me. He hates me. So if he hates me, I already hate him. That's the way the world goes around. So that's what it says. Lashon Sheker, Lashon Hara, Yisne, it causes. Yisne causes the Baal Lashon Hara to hate Dakov, the victim, the one that has been crushed by his slander. Let's see the words again. So those Ish Sheker, Yisne, even though the person that you spoke about, he didn't do anything to you. You never even met him in the street. He never took revenge for the slander. Why though do you hate it? Because the person who spoke Lashon Hara thinks that the victim of the Lashon Hara is his enemy. Because he was crushed, he was hurt in the words of Sheker. But the truth, it's not really true. And now this is the end of the pasuk. According to the Mitzvah, is a little bit difficult, at least for me to understand. The pasuk concludes, "Upecholok yase mitche." If the person who was the subject of the Lashon Hara will come over to the Baal Lashon Hara on Shabbos and say, "Good Shabbos, how are you? How is everything by you?" That will cause the hatred that the imaginary hatred that the Baal Lashon Hara has against this fellow to dissipate, completely evaporate. It doesn't really fit well into the pasuk. I don't find it to be very satisfying
It's the two parts, like a seesaw. The first part tells you.
Yeah, but that's not what the Mitzvah says. The Mitzvah says there's imaginary hatred. You have generated in yourself imaginary hatred for this fellow because you spoke Lashon Hara. You suspect he heard about it and he hates you, so you in return hate him. But if the victim will now come to you and say, "How are you? I'm your best friend. I have no bad feelings," or doesn't makes believe he doesn't know anything, right away the hatred, the imaginary hate that you have against him completely dissipates. Ratzolaymar, if this victim will speak smoothly, to show among themselves, I don't know that you spoke Lashon Hara about me. I'm not aware that you said anything evil about me. It's pushed away. It disappears. It's pushed off a cliff. It evaporates. It doesn't exist. The sinner can go away. So the pecholot is the smooth, pleasant speech of the victim towards the Baal Lashon Hara, Yaseh causes Mitche hatred to disappear. Okay, so he's saying, the Pasuk Derech Agav is teaching us, according to him, this is a very powerful concept, is that the victim of Lashon Hara, he can put an end to everything by being Meichel, the Baal Lashon Hara. If the victim is Meichel, the Baal Lashon Hara, and goes over to him and says, "I know you spoke about me evil," or you make believe, he just makes believe that nothing ever happened, the world goes on, Shalom al Yisrael. Okay, let's see Rashi. Rashi says, Yisne, Pasuk Chavchas, Yisne Dakov, Mi Shemekabel Lashon Hara, person that is Mekabel Lashon Hara, Soinei Es Hanidokim Tachtov, hates the victim, the people that are crushed Tachtov. Now what does that mean exactly? So he illustrates this with an example which makes it understandable for us. Shekein Lashon Hara Rodav Shaul LeDavid V'Harag Noif. So the example is Shaul. Shaul received Lashon Hara. What was the Lashon Hara? That Noiv, Ir HaKoyhanim, are defending Shaul's imaginary enemy, David. David was Shaul's imaginary enemy. And now here's a report from Doye Koadoimi that an entire city of Koyhanim are defending his imaginary enemy. So Shaul, immediately he hates them. He hates them because they're causing him harm. They're defending his enemy. And what did he do to show his hatred? He crushed them. He destroyed them. He killed them out. Now that's not the typical example of Lashon Hara. A typical example of Lashon Hara, you don't hate your victim. It's gossip. Well, sometimes you relish it. The person that you're speaking about is your mortal enemy. That's according to Rashi, we didn't need to go. According to the Mitzvot,
he's talking about the.
According to the Mitzvot, we did not need to go there. According to Rashi, Rashi is discussing a different type of Lashon Hara. It is a Lashon Hara concerning someone who you hate. Again, ordinarily, most of the time when we hear Lashon Hara, it's about people we really don't care about. Third party, it's just gossip. But there's a very, very serious type of Lashon Hara in when we say evil things about our enemies. We have people that we have complaints against, legitimate complaints against. They're enemies in some form. And then when we hear Lashon Hara about them, that intensifies our hatred, and that causes us to crush them, to punish them, to take action, and to crush them. So where it says here in this pasuk, according to Rashi, the word dakov, it is al shem ha'osit. It is referring to what's going to happen in the future. I hear Lashon Hara, Lashon Sheker, the words of Lashon Hara that I accept, Yisna causes me to have more hatred towards the subject of the Lashon Hara, to the point where Dakov, I'm going to crush them, polarize them into nothing. That's what Rashi says. And the second half of the pasuk is seemingly not related. It's talking about Lashon Hara, but it's not related to the first part of the pasuk. Upeh, peh, cholok yaseh mitcheh, Peshel Chalak Lakois, which basically, according to Rashi, is another word, it's a synonym for Lashon Hara. Yaseh Mitche, it caused the person to be pushed away from Olam Haba. Oseh Dichui, it causes one to be pushed. Shedoicha es mekablo, the one that receives Lashon Hara, me'al HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A person that receives smooth talk, he listens and absorbs and believes smooth talk, which is another code word for Lashon Hara. Yaseh, that action causes him mitre, to be pushed away from Hashem's presence, from the Shechina. Okay, this is the Rashi and Mesudas are obviously very, very different.
Pam means he's also saying, Lashon is he listens, and Pam is he...
According to Rashi, Lashon Sheker means the Mekabel. According to Mesudas, Lashon Sheker means the Noisim, the one that...
Rashi, Pecholot means he actually also says...
Pecholak no means the words of Lashon Hara. The words of Lashon Hara, which are usually expressed in a sweet song, as a pecholak, it will cause the recipient to yaseh mitcha, to be pushed away. The mitcha, to be pushed away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's a major difference according to Rashi and the Mitzudas in almost every single word of this pasuk. According to the Mitzudas, the words Lashon Sheker refer to the one who speaks Lashon Hara. Yisne Dakav will cause them to hate his victim. Da'akov means the one that's been crushed through his harsh words. According to Rashi, Lashon Sheker is not the one that speaks, but the one that receives the Lashon Hara. Yisne will cause additional hatred towards Da'akov, the victim of the Lashon Hara, because he will be punished for the report. The report is that this person is planning harm against you, so you will take action and crush him. And then the second of the pasuk, according to the Mitzudas, the Pecholak refers to good, not Lashon Hara, it refers to a pleasant welcome, a pleasant greeting. Upecholak, Yaseh Mitcha, it causes bad feeling to dissipate. Antidote, according to the Mitzudas. According to Rashi, it's just a continuation. It's just a repetition that a person that receives Lashon Hara will could be forced to be driven away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now there's another interpretation which I forgot how it goes, but the word according to the other Mahalach, I think from the Gura, the Vilna Gaon, Da'akov means pure, purity. That Lashon Dikui, Tohar, the Aramaic translation for the word Tohar is Dachui. Dachui means pure. And when we add that into the pasuk, it means... We have to read the words backwards. Dachov, people in this world who are pure, pure holy people, yisna, they hate Lashon Sheker. They have a hatred for falsehood. Very simple interpretation. Only thing is you have to translate the words backwards, which has never been a problem for us. And you have to say the word Da'akov does not mean crush, it means purity. Then the end of the pasuk is not really clear. It's a different shalom than Pecholok Yaseh Mitche. Okay, I guess you don't like Rashi. It simply means that a person that listens to Pecholok, he will be pushed away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. Okay, let's just put quickly the next parak of Zayin, Al Tesalel B'yomachar, Kilo Seda, Ma Yeled Yom. Very simple pasuk. A person should not praise himself today concerning what's going to be tomorrow. Don't brag. Don't brag that tomorrow I'm going on a cruise. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. I have money, a retirement fund, and I have this. There are no guarantees in life. No guarantees. A person should be cautious and should not, never brag. Don't say, I'm set for life. Everything is going to be, Al Tesalel B'yomachar. I remember, Okay, the person you never know what's going to be. It's a very frightening pasuk. Do not brag about what's going to be tomorrow, because you don't even know what's going to be today. You don't even know what will happen today, and you're bragging what's going to be tomorrow. Who says there will be a tomorrow? Let's see the Mitzvot pasuk. Aleph, Al Tesalel, Al Tishtavach, Atzmicha, b'mashet shel tavtiach lasoitz biyomach. What you promise? What you planning to do? Biyomachar kilo seida madover yikra. What's going to happen? Ki pen yikra dover asher lo sucha lasos asuhu. Maybe something will happen that will prevent you from doing, from fulfilling your wishes, your plans. Rashi al tishalul al tispoer. Don't brag. Don't brag. Achshav bedavar she'osilios liyomachar kilo seida mayel yom shema hayoyim. Today, Yulat Shum Ra, Sheyevatel Machshavoy Smacha, with your plans for tomorrow. Simple idea. The Medrash here is something shocking. That this refers to Yaakov Avinu. You would never know this unless you saw such a part, such a Medrash in Bereshis Rabbah. Yaakov Avinu, when he was planning, when he was negotiating with Lavan. So we would know all the plans they kept on changing the contract. Excellent. The Ansabit Sidkasi Biyoy Machar. Yaakov said to Lavan, we're going to make a contract, and you're going to see that tomorrow I'm going to come out a tzaddik. So even though Yaakov said this in an innocent way, only reference to, you know, his contract, what he had, but every word that came out of Yaakov's mouth obviously had much greater power, which can be interpreted in reference to his spiritual life. And Yaakov Avinu appeared to say, I'm confident, Ki onsa bit sitkasi, I'm a righteous man. I'm here. I went to Koil for 22 years. No, we went for 14 years. I went to Koil for 14 years, and I'm working by you, I'm making an honest living by you for all of these years. I'm a good man. The onsa bit sitkasi, the zuchusin that I have will serve to protect me for the rest of my life. I'm not expecting any forks in the road, any bumps in the road for the rest of my life. That is how Chazal look at this pasuk. They don't think it's simply in reference to just negotiation contract with Esav. The onsa di tzidkasi biyoy mochar. So Hashem said to him, the baskel came out, and Hashem said to him, really, Yaakov Avinu, you're confident that you have such grace as chusim and everything's going to be good? And what was his biggest sorrow? It's shocking that he would say Yosef, right? He would say Yosef was sold. No, the Medrash says the biggest sorrow was Dina. That was, and so Dina was abducted. Was abducted in the Zionist of the family. That was the biggest sorrow, because you know he had a lot of sorrows. Yaakov, a lot of things that went wrong, but this was the one that Chazal criticized. Unsabit kasim yamachar dina. Okay, I can't resist doing the next pasuk. We're out of time. Yehal, let's just start the pasuk. Yehalol chazav lepicha nachri v'al sifasecha. When it comes to praising yourself, never ever praise yourself. Yehalel chazar, a stranger should sing your praises. V'loy picha, not your own mouth. Nachri, the pasuk repeats itself. Nachri, a stranger should praise you. V'al sifasecha, your lips shall not praise you. Let's see, Mitzudas was the base. Yalelcha, Ratzulamer, Apidavash, Shekvar, Asis, even the past. This pasuk continues the previous pasuk. Forget about the future, let's talk about the past. In the past, don't go look back at your past merits and say about the good thing in the past. Yalelcha, Zar, Nachri, V'chu, Kofa, Adabu, Lishonas, Rashi. Yalelcha, there is no Rashi. What is the famous Israeli Marsha? The Barsha says, Yalel Chazar Veloy. But what happens? What happens if you go to shul and you're sitting there for a long time and no one says a night, no one sings your praises? They don't honor you. Veloy? Oh, Picha. Then you have to praise yourself. Sometimes you have to sing your own praises. The Marsha says this. The Marsha says in reference to a Gemara, the Gemara Sakasha, with regard to Ovadyohu. Ovadyohu, when Eliyahu HaNavi, this is the Haftarah a few weeks ago, when Ovadya, there was Achav, Achav killed out all of the Nevi'im, all the Talmidei Chachamim, and everyone was on the run. And Eliyahu HaNavi, he met Achav, and he said, Achav, Ovadya, I want you to go to Achav and tell him that Eliyahu is here. I want to speak to you. Ovadya says, "What, are you crazy? You're going to send me to Achav? He'll kill me on the spot. Don't you know I'm a tzaddik? Don't you know I'm a Yorei Shamayim? Don't you know who I am? I'm from the Gedolei Hador." So the Gemara is the Kasha. How could Ovadya say he's from the Gedolei Hador? Yehalel Chazar v'loy Picha. What's Ovadya doing? So the Gemara says the only time it's osur is in a place where they know who you are. But if you're in a place where they don't know who you are, then you're allowed to praise yourself. So this pasuk is limited only to a place where in the community they know who you are. They know who you are, so if they're going to give you the kavod, good for them. If they're not going to give you the kavod, it's going to be a bizayon for you to be tavei your own kavod. But if you're in a place where they don't know who you are, so Avadya, this is the first time Eliyo, Yisun Eliyo does not know who he is. Therefore, he had a right to tell Eliyo, I am a Yorei Shamayim. So the Marsha on that Gemara says, it's merumas in the pasuk, and the whole Velt says this. This is a very famous word. Yehalel chazar, kama, v'loi, kama, in the event that people are not singing your praises, meaning they do not know who you are, then, picha, you do have the right to sing your own praises.
They don't know. You have to insist that they
call you Harav. The Talmud. Okay, it's a nice story. Yeah.
There's a connection between below picha.
Right, right. That's the pshat. The pshat, of course, veloy picha. That's in fact why there's a connection. The pshat is 99% of the time you should not praise yourself. Yehalel, let the stranger praise you, not the picha. But there are times where there are exceptions. The drush. It's a drush. Okay, we'll stop here.